Well, good morning, Green Valley. It's so good to see all of you guys here in the building this morning. And for all of you guys who are joining us online, whether that's now or in the future, I think it is incredible that we get to be one church that meets in multiple locations. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Brandon. I'm the fairly new associate pastor here. Can't wait to get to meet all of you guys and get to know you a little bit more. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to be continuing our series called Unchanging. And isn't it super nice to know that in the midst of life where so many unexpected changes are taking place, seemingly all day, every day, right, that there are some things in life that we know are unchanging. Some things that are going to remain the same no matter how long we live, no matter how many generations we pass down. There are just certain things that need one another, like Oreos. Oreos are always going to need milk. That's not going to change. Nobody's going to change that to, you know, orange juice or anything like that. You're always going to need an Oreo. It's going to need some milk. Pro tip, and this is just a bonus for you guys. Did you know you can take an Oreo and you can stick it on the end of a fork so that you get full submersion into the milk? So there's none of that little dry part. You know, the worst part of the Oreo is the dry part where your fingers are. Just a little bit of a pro tip there for you. But not just Oreos. What about fall? What does fall need? Fall needs football. When you walked outside yesterday morning and it was a little bit cool outside, was it not just like, it's time, right? Or maybe for some of you, fall needs pumpkin spice flavored everything, right? Lattes, candles, Oreos, I don't know. Pumpkin spice takes over in the fall. What about Batman? Batman needs Robin, right? I mean, like the two of them just go together. Batman needs Robin. What about peanut butter? Peanut butter needs jelly, unless you have a peanut allergy. And then it may need an EpiPen, all right? Maybe that's not a good example, right? But also, guess what? Followers of Jesus need one another. Matter of fact, we can't do this thing of following Jesus by ourselves. We need one another. If we're going to live the life that God expects for us to live in following him, we can't expect to do it alone. We need one another to be able to help us in this journey of following Jesus. And so I want to show this to you guys this morning because it's so incredibly important. And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, this is what it says. And this is Jesus replying to someone who's asking him a question. It says, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't stop with, "Hey, you love God"? He says it's first, it's the most important, like that's the first, that's the greatest step you have to take, but equally important, you need to love one another. Isn't that crazy that our relationship with God isn't just about us and God? It's also about our relationships with each other. Paul comes along and reinforces this whole idea. Matter of fact, he gives us this list, a one another list, 58 different times where he talks about how we should treat one another. And there's so many different ways. I mean, he says we need to forgive one another. We need to accept one another. We need to care for one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to submit to one another, restore one another, carry one another's burdens, and bear with one another. Right? Sometimes in the quarantine when that was all happening, bearing with one another got to be the most difficult one. Am I right? All right? Like that was tough for us. But basically, it's easy for us just to focus on our relationship with God. If we only have to figure out how to be good with God, then that's not that difficult, right? I mean, like you it's almost like check boxes. Like I want to make sure I'm going to be at church, I'm going to read my Bible, pray, be generous. But Paul says, no, that's not where it stops. It doesn't just stop with our relationship with God. It builds on that. And our relationship with one another is equally important, that the way that we treat each other. And here's the deal, is like it's not enough for us to believe this privately. We need to behave it publicly. And when we focus just on our relationship with God, we get to be the judge of how we're doing with that. We can go through and go, yeah, I'm doing a pretty good job. But when it comes to interacting with other people, and having to love one another the way that Jesus loved one another, that's where it starts to get a little bit more difficult. That's where our faith begins to be tested and pushed, and where we have to figure out, is this thing for real? Has this really changed me? Am I checking boxes? Or am I experiencing the love of God and loving one another the way that God loves me? And that is not easy. It's easy just to focus on this. Hey, this vertical relationship, God, you and me, we're good. But when it comes to this, the horizontal relationships, it gets a little bit more difficult. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning, because Hebrews really dives into this. And I want to give you just a little bit of background so you know kind of where all this is coming. But Hebrews is basically one long sermon. And so it's a sermon written to Jews who had recently converted to Christianity. Now, you got to understand, at the time that this letter was written, the temple where the Jewish people would have worship would still be standing. The priests would have still been carrying on their priestly duties every day. And so it would have been so easy for these recent and new Christians to fall right back into what they knew, right back into what was comfortable, what was familiar, and man, even to escape persecution that they were experiencing. Isn't it crazy that almost 2,000 years later, we struggle with some of the same things? Whether you're a new follower of Jesus or you've been following Jesus for years, sometimes it's easier to go back to what we knew, back to what we were comfortable with, even if it wasn't better. It's familiar. Or maybe even to go back to what we knew because a hard conversation's coming up with someone we love or with someone we care about. And it can be so much easier to go back to what we knew rather than what God has for us, because we don't want to be uncomfortable. Matter of fact, there's a saying that comes around here a pretty good bit in the office, and it goes something like this: we're going to become comfortable with being uncomfortable, which goes against everything in our bodies, right? I mean, like, our whole thing is to get into our zone, to be where we want to be, and it's called a comfort zone for a reason, right? I mean, like, that's why you have the little dial in your car. You can set the temperature just perfectly, and you can leave it alone because it's comfortable, and that's where you want to be. But God says following him is basically living a life where you're comfortable with being uncomfortable. Matter of fact, if you're doing it right and you're following hard after Jesus, there are going to be a few times where you feel like, all right, everything's good, smooth sailing from here on out. Because at that point, God's going to be like, hey, I've got something bigger and better for you. Because the Christian life, the life of following Jesus, is far from boring and far from just being comfortable. And even though this goes against everything in our bodies, everything that we want to just remain comfortable, this is where the writer of Hebrews jumps in and goes, hey, let me give you some hope. If you've got a fighting chance of following Jesus and being able to do this thing right, you're going to have to rely on me, but you're also going to have to rely on each other. And your relationships with the people around you is what's going to make all the difference in the world. So let's look at this, because really what happens is the writer of Hebrews jumps back and forth between the importance of our relationship with God and our relationships with each other and how this is going to help us. So in Hebrews chapter 10, this is where we're going to be for the rest of the morning, verses 21 and 22, it says, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Now, this is very vertical, right? This is about our relationship with God. And we can't be in right relationships with other people if we're not first in a right relationship with God. And so we got to get this ready, but you got to understand that to the Jews in this time, this would have been very foreign to them. Because for them, the temple was reserved for certain people. And if you got even further into the temple, the Holy of Holies, where they believed that God's presence dwelled, that was reserved for just the high priest. And even he could only go in one time a year. So running right into the presence of God, when we start feeling unsure or unsettled about something, would have been completely foreign to them. And yet, he says, hey, when you're unsure, you run right into the presence of God. We need one another to remind us of God's faithfulness. We need to be around each other. We need to be supporting each other so that we can remind each other of how faithful God is, that you can trust God to be with you, that he's going to be there with you, and that he's going to walk through whatever it is that you're going through, and he's not going to leave you alone. And we know that God says that, but sometimes we need people around us to remind us of that. Last summer, I took a group of students to an international trip to Costa Rica, and there was one of my students who is a fluent Spanish speaker, and so I thought for sure that she would be going on this trip. And so when she didn't sign up, I was a little bit confused. And so I went to her, and I was like, hey, this would be a great trip for you. It'd be awesome. You know, it's your senior year. Like, let's go. She's like, yeah, I would love to go. I think it'd be awesome. But you guys said that you're going to be sharing your stories with people. And that terrifies me. I was like, well, it'll be fine. Like, you know, like we're going to help you get ready. She goes, no, I don't think you understand. Getting in front of people makes me want to throw up. Right? Some of you are like, yes, yeah, same thing. Like being in front of people would be the worst thing ever. I said, listen, here's the deal. We're going to help you get ready. We'll help you write out your story. We'll help you even practice it. We're never going to force you to share your story, though. But I'm telling you, if you're willing to trust God in this, he'll do amazing things. She said, I'll go, but I'm not sharing my story. I said, okay. So she went, and we spent some of each day going out, talking to people, sharing our stories of why we were there, and then we would hear their stories. And after the first day, I was like, hey, you wanted this house? We're about to go to this house. You want to share your story? She's like, I will run away, and you'll never find me. Okay, like she was serious. She's like, I'm not sharing my story. Don't even push me. I'm like, okay, but I'm telling you, if you'll trust God, he'll carry you through this. You're ready. I promise you, you're ready. Just trust him. She's like, absolutely no way. Come day two, hey, you want to share your story? Absolutely no way. Like, there's no way I can do this. And so we're talking with this lady, having a conversation with her, and the conversation's wrapping up, and it wasn't really going anywhere great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she just comes out from around us and starts talking to this lady. And she's talking to her in Spanish, and they're just having this conversation. We're all sitting here trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening. And this lady's face and everything just changes. And the whole conversation took a turn. And she ended up praying with her. And as we left, we're like, hey, what happened? She was like, yeah, I was scared to death. I was ready. But God just kept telling me that, like, hey, trust me in this. And I kept hearing you guys saying, hey, trust me. You can trust me with this. She's like, and so I was like, okay, God, here it goes. And she's like, I don't even know what came out of my mouth. But as soon as I was willing to go, God, I trust you and speak up, he took care of the rest. And then two nights later, she stood in front of an entire church and shared her story with that entire church. And there was more reaction with her five-minute story and interaction with that than my entire sermon. I wasn't offended by it at all. It was great, right? But it's amazing that we need one another to remind each other of God's faithfulness. I'm willing to bet that there's something in your life right now that you know you need to do, and yet it makes you very uncomfortable. And also, God keeps bringing it up. I don't know if it's a conversation you need to have, if it's an invite you need to make, or maybe it's a habit that needs to be formed or a habit that needs to be broken. I don't know. But I guarantee you there's something that just is in you that makes you incredibly uncomfortable and you're not sure if you can do it. And I get it. There are so many voices around us telling us that we're not good enough. That, hey, there's no way that God wants to use you to influence them. Hey, don't you remember what you've done? God can't use you to change people's lives. God can't use you to make a difference. You are too damaged and too broken. And that's where we need one another to come around us and go, not only can you trust God, but you don't have to do this alone. And God is faithful with you throughout all of this. But this is not where it stops in Hebrews. He keeps going in verse 23. And he says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Guess what? It's not when you're going to enter into difficult circumstances, it's when. Not if, but when. Hello, 2020, right? We're going to encounter difficult circumstances. There are going to be things in your life that you're going to run into that are going to be incredibly difficult. Do you have anybody in your life that you've given permission for them to ask you tough questions? Like not just anybody, but somebody that you trust. Somebody that you've said, hey, I want you to call me out when I need to be called out. When my wife and I moved to Mississippi, I joined a small group. And the one that worked for me best was one that met on Thursday mornings at 5:30 a.m. in different restaurants. I don't know about you guys, 5:30 a.m., if the sun's got enough sense to not be up at that time, I'm not sure that I need to be up either, right? But it was the only one that worked, so I joined it. A bunch of guys way older than me, one of my favorite groups I've ever been a part of. And one of the guys tricked me into joining his gym with him. I mean, invited me to join his gym with him. And he and I would take turns driving to the gym every morning together. And if you ever just have one of those months where just everything seems to go wrong, it's like everything just stacks up and you're like, just one thing after another, and you're like, what in the world is happening right now? Well, this was one of those months in our lives. I was in seminary. We just had to pay seminary tuition. I was driving down the road, going to work one day, and my tire just exploded and just took out the whole backside of my truck. I mean, it was like, what in the world is going on? We had a water line that just busted just on our side of the meter, you know, where it loses, where the water company has to take care of it, and you do. That's where it was, is right in that space, right? And so I was just talking to him. I'm like, man, it just seems like just one thing after another just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting, and all these financial expenses, and I just don't really know what we're going to do. He was super kind and super sweet, and he listened to me, and he didn't call me out and be like, you're just being dumb, just get over it, right? He listened. And he even shared with me some instances in his life where he had encountered some stuff like that, and God had always been faithful. And then he asked me a question. He said, I want you to know that I'm always a safe place for you to vent, but have you talked to God about this? And you would think, as a pastor, that would have been my first stop, right? Like, my first stop when something just crazy is happening and you have you feel like you have no control, your first stop would be to go to God. But he asked me that question, and I was like, you know, I haven't. And so when I got home, I just sat down and I prayed and said, God, I've not been trusting you in this situation. And I don't know how you're going to work all this out, but I'm giving it to you. And I know that whatever you want to do, you'll do. Isn't it crazy how sometimes God steps in and sometimes he answers your prayers in the exact way that you would like, and sometimes he says, I want to show you what I can do. The great thing would have been for none of those things to happen or for it just all go away, but it didn't. God said, let me show you how much you can trust me. The next day, I walked out to the mailbox, and there was a check from our insurance company that covered the entire amount of what it cost for me to repair my truck. And then the next week, there was an anonymous donation given to the church that covered my entire seminary tuition for that semester. Do you have anybody in your life that you've given permission to ask you the tough questions? Have you ever grown in your relationship with Jesus because of your relationship with someone else? That person in your life that is there for you, that is helping you out and helping you to keep moving forward, you need somebody like that. We all need somebody around us pushing us to help keeping us moving forward. And if you don't have someone like that, man, a life group is the place to find that kind of person. Let's keep on in verse 24. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We need one another for motivation too. You know, Finding Nemo, where there's Dory? She's like, just keep swimming, right? You guys need a Dory in your life. Or you need to be a Dory in someone else's life. Because what it talks about here, motivate, literally means to stimulate someone's interest in or enthusiasm for doing something. And we can't motivate someone else if we don't first know their story. My wife and I started a small group for young marrieds at the last church we were in. And there was this couple that had just moved to town. They had only been married for a couple of months. She had just made the decision to follow Jesus less than a month before. And she was new to this whole thing, had some really bad experiences with Christians and the church in her past. And she was very scared to kind of take that next step. And so, but she knew she needed to surround herself with some people that could motivate her. And so she said, hey, I want to join y'all's group. I'm super nervous about it. You know, can you help me out with this? And I said, hey, don't worry about it. Our group is incredible. There's so many amazing people in there. You're going to love it. She goes, I just don't want to be there first. I was like, don't worry about it. Like, hey, so we're not hosting this week. Another couple's hosting. We start at 6:00. If you get there a little after 6, you'll be fine. I'll be there. Everybody will be there. It'll be great. So they circled the neighborhood that night around 6:00 a couple times, just trying to make sure that they were not the first ones there. And finally, they got up the courage to go to the door, and the guy answers the door in his spandex cycling shorts because the group didn't start until 7:00. Whoops, that was my bad. But it broke the ice for them because it's not nearly as awkward going to a group for the first time as it is meeting somebody for the first time in spandex cycling shorts. Okay, like that broke the ice for them, and they fell in love with the group. And there were so many amazing people that are a part of that group that were there encouraging her, and one night she decided to open up and to share her story, and it was powerful. We said, hey, you can't keep this to yourself. You've got to share this with others because it could help so many people. And so she ended up on video sharing her story, with the church there in South Carolina, and it impacted so many people. And her and her husband are now working through the process of becoming foster parents, and she knew that she needed people around her to motivate her. We need people around us to motivate us. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't know if I have time for a group. I don't know if this is the right time for me. I don't know if I even need a group. Maybe you don't need a group, but maybe somebody in a group needs you. That you need to be that person motivating someone else in that group. If you look at James 2, 14 through 17, the Message paraphrase says it in such a way. It says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? We need one another to remind one another of God's faithfulness. We need one another for accountability. We need one another for motivation. Guys, it's not enough for us to believe this privately. We've got to start behaving it publicly." Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." Now listen, the focus here is not on church attendance. I think the point that he's trying to make is that we need one another. That life can be hard, and it can beat you down, and it can feel super lonely, and there can be times where we feel like our wheels are just spinning in the mud, and this is pointless, unless we've got some people around us going, keep swimming. Just keep going. Hebrews 10:25 continues and says, "But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." That Greek word there for encourage, translated literally, is to implore or to beg someone to do something. And what it really means is to give each other courage. You see, not only do we need each other to remind us of God's faithfulness, for accountability, for motivation, but we need one another to push us to be uncomfortable and to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. See, as a follower of Jesus, this is a one another type of faith. Jesus said, "They're going to know that you're my followers because of the way that you love one another." That was the key factor. Not in how well you can manage your relationship between you and God. Yes, that's important and that's first, but the difference was going to be the way that you love each other. That was what was going to make all the difference in the world. There's a park in Northern California, the Redwood National Forest, where the largest living thing on earth is, and it is a redwood tree. These trees can grow to be up to 36 stories tall. That's about 360 feet tall, and the diameter of the trunks can be upwards of 20 feet. And as tall and as majestic as these trees are, their roots only grow about 6 to 12 feet deep. But they go out upwards of 100 feet. And the roots of all these incredible trees intertwine together, and they hold each other up. You don't think God has a sense of humor? I don't know. We need one another. We can only do so much by ourselves. You might be able to get by, but you can't thrive, and we can't thrive without one another. Let's pray together. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and joining a group terrifies you. I mean, you just can't imagine, or maybe you've had any experience in the past that was so negative that you feel like, I can't do that again. I can't be vulnerable again. Or maybe you're not sure if you have time. We are so pressed for time right now, but here's something that we know that is not going to change, and that is our need for one another. Maybe it's time for you to share your story, to not just be in a group, but to be open and vulnerable in a group. And maybe it's you need to share your story, or you being willing to share is going to help someone else share their story. I don't know what your next step is this morning. I don't know what it needs to be, but I'm telling you that this morning there's something that God's pushing you to do that's going to make you really uncomfortable. And yet when you are faithful in that, you're going to get to see God do something amazing. My dad used to tell me growing up that rarely do we get to see God do something big in our lives, because we almost never let ourselves get into a situation where only God can do what he can do. Maybe this week, you need to find out what that thing is that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you need some help. Maybe the first thing is reaching out. You can text GV Connect to 97000 and we'll get back in touch with you to help you to figure out what that next step is or to help you find a group. Whatever it is this week, we have to be here for one another.